Good evening and welcome to the January 2026 edition of Mars Stars. This evening, we are honored to welcome Nancy Rasmussen from Water of Elite, Michigan, to our show. Better known to us as our good friend, Nan. Good evening and welcome to the first edition of Mars Stars for 2026, January 27th to be exact. And I am really happy to have the opportunity to interview this lady that I've known casually for many, many years. And it's just been within the past 2 or 3 years that I've gotten to know her really well. And what an honor and privilege it's been to do so. Nan, I'm so glad that you agreed to be January's guest on Mars Stars, and we'd like to welcome you.
Thank you very much, Mar, and thank you for all for coming. It's a privilege to tell my story. God willing, I can not get real nervous and all that good stuff. But thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, you've heard that story about when you're a kid and you go on stage and they say, just imagine everybody sitting around in their underwear. I remember people telling me that sort of made them smile and things like that. Well, there's nothing to be nervous about. We're all friends around here. And so it's just like having a family conversation. So I think we're going to kind of go in chronological order, which I guess makes the most sense. I know from speaking to you that you were not raised in Michigan. Tell us where you were raised.
I was born and raised in Fresno, California. That's the dead center of California. We moved to Washington, D.C. I can't remember the date right now. I think it was 67. And then from Washington, D.C., we came here to Michigan. I don't know if you want me to talk about my childhood. To me, it was kind of interesting.
Yep, absolutely. How many siblings did you have?
I had one brother. He's passed away now. But we had a very busy life as children. And my parents were, my dad was a voice teacher. My mother was a piano teacher. She also played in those days, the mortuaries for the funeral services would have actual live organ music. And she also played for the organ. I started very early to be out in the public. I took ballet lessons. I was 7 when I started piano. And I took piano for 12 years. Then my brother and I, this was what I really want to share with you because it was so much fun. My brother and I started tap dancing when I think I was 8 and he was 11, something like that. We started, our teacher said, I want you to be a dance team. And so we did. We did all kind of dances. I remember doing a Russian dance one time and we really, really enjoyed it. We were able to, after 2 or 3 years, we were able to dance all over the city in different events. I was really upset when my brother, when he was in junior high or high school, I can't remember, he said, I really don't want to do it anymore. I didn't go on with my dancing. It was after being with my brother for that long dancing, it wasn't the same. But I did go on with my piano music. That was to become very important to me as my life went on because early on, I wanted to be an accompanist. And my dad let me be his accompanist along with my mother. So I got some good foundation there. And then I started in playing at church for the lower grades and eventually played in church for 50 years. I also played for the my junior high. Well, they had like a choral ensemble, and I played for them. And I just fell in love with playing the piano, accompanying. And then later on, after I was married for a little while, I started playing for church, and I played for 50 years and loved every minute of it.
Wow, that's a long time to be doing that. That is pretty impressive. So you must have started fairly young playing for various things.
I did. I was in junior high. I played in the younger church members, the cradle roll and the primary and all that to begin with. And then let me go back a little bit. I started really in the junior high accompanying the choir, which I absolutely loved. It took me a long ways. I mean, I also played the organ because every time you go to a different church, and we traveled some, they needed an organist, but I wanted to be at the piano. Eventually, I played the organ. My daughter played the piano in church. God led me in a different path. I mean, it's what I wanted to do, but I really kind of wanted to do more as far as, maybe even being a concert pianist, but I didn't have it in me. So I think God wanted to use me in church, and it was just pure joy working for him in church.
That is so, so neat. Did you play any other instruments in school?
No, never even tried another instrument. I was busy trying to practice this and practice that. Our house was very busy. My folks, their studios were right behind our house. They had two studios. And the students would come and go, and sometimes they'd come in the house and we'd feed them dinner. And we had I had a very busy childhood, but it was a good childhood, and we had lots of fun.
That is neat. Was there a teacher in school that stands out above any of the others?
Yes. In my junior high, his name was John Martin, and he was the music teacher at the junior high there. And he called me one day into his room, and he said, "I'd like to have you become the accompanist for our chorus." And I jumped on board right away. The other thing, my teachers didn't like it because he would call me out of my... I remember one time I was in Latin or something like that, or whatever I was taking. Maybe not Latin in junior high. Whatever I was taking. And he'd call me out of class to come and play for the choir. And my teachers didn't like that too well, but I loved it.
Yeah, I imagine you did. It's something you enjoyed doing. I can remember doing a few things like that too. When you finished high school, did you go on to college?
No, I got my MRS degree. I met my husband when I was a senior in high school, and we were married 6 months later. I was just 18, very young. I really regret getting married that young. I guess it must have worked because we were married 59 years, had two children, and I have now the two children and four great-grandchildren. So, and wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I have two children, and then I have four grandchildren and four great-grandchildren.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, that's kind of a funny story because I was going out with his best friend, Bill. Dell's my husband's name. And I was going out with Bill and his friend, and we didn't get along at all. And he said, "I have somebody that I want you to meet." So he introduced me to Dell, and that was it. And we stayed together 59 years.
Wow, that is a pretty incredible record. Did you start raising a family right away, or did you have a career for a while?
No, we had two children not too long after we were married, and I did not work at that time, but I volunteered a lot, and I played in church, which is interesting enough, I ran a little newspaper for the church also, and that was a lot of fun. And then I volunteered a lot at the school and other places. And so, you know, I kept busy that way. It was a little hard for me to work at first because Dell was a fruit inspector at the time, just beginning his career. His major was in agriculture. And we moved a lot. Sometimes we'd move every year. We'd follow the fruit season. And my husband was he inspected at the different fruit and vegetable plants, and to make sure that everything was just right to get put in those cans. It wasn't until I got to Washington, D.C., that I got a job as a school secretary. And then when we moved here, I went to work in a flower shop, and I stayed with that. I worked in a greenhouse for quite a while, which I absolutely loved. But that was kind of my work life. And I was always very busy in church.
So when you first started moving, you said you moved every year. Was that throughout California?
Yes. It was just, you know, like, he would be, they say, you know, go up to that plant and we'd stay a year and go down south. It was all in California. We didn't move to Washington, D.C. till 69.
How did your children handle moving that much?
Well, they were just small. I mean, when we started moving, they were, well, my daughter was only a year old. We didn't have our son yet. I think we were married 5 or 6 years before we had our second child.
Why did you move to Washington, D.C.?
Well, like I say, my husband worked for the Department of Agriculture, and there was an opening in Washington, D.C. for someone to work at the Department of Agriculture. And it was dealing with the school lunch program. And his job was to buy fruits and vegetables for the lunch programs. I don't know exactly how it worked from there on in, but yeah, we stayed there 9 years, I think, 9 or 10 years. And quite frankly, it was too long. We had lots of friends there and everything, but Washington, D.C. was great for the children. They absolutely loved it, but it wasn't the best place to raise kids.
Well, you just took the next question out of my mouth. I think you're the first person I've ever met that actually lived there for a period of time. So you didn't find that to be the ideal spot to reside.
No, it was just so, I guess we were too close to it or something. But for instance, one day my husband got a call and he said, we need two people from the Department of Agriculture to go over and welcome the French president. I don't remember who was in office at that time. So he went over there and he stood on they had representatives from each departments, and they stood outside the fence, and they were given flags to wave, and just little things like that that he found that were just kind of petty, and we just didn't like it. That was not our cup of tea.
Did you ever go inside the White House?
We did, and it's surprising inside. It's very small. The rooms are very small. It was fine, but I really liked the House of Representatives much better. That was awesome to stand there and realize that's where they were conducting the business of the, you know, of the states. And it was very emotional for me that day.
Yeah, I would think it would be. So then you were called to move to Michigan. Was that also through his work?
Yes. He retired. Let me go back. Okay, while he was in Washington, he was on the board as a federal worker on the cranberry and cherry marketing orders. And so the marketing order was in Water Lake, Michigan, where we're living right now, where I'm living right now. They needed somebody to work out of the Water Lake office, and he was the general manager of the cherry marketing order. Later on, he became manager of the cranberry also out of Massachusetts. And we decided that he would retire and we would move to Michigan. And we've been here ever since. We moved in, I believe it was 76, and we've been here ever since. Enjoying this cold weather, by the way, Mark.
Yeah. I would imagine you kind of miss the warmer weather in California. Of course, where in Fresno, boy, it would get hot, hot, hot. I have a friend that lives up there, and oh, I remember going up there in June, and it was well over 100 degrees.
Well, that's kind of a funny story. After we were there, I think 2 or 3 years, Dale got a call from the Fresno office he started in, right after we got married. And they said, we want you to come back to California, to our hometown, Fresno, and run the Fresno office, Department of Agriculture. And we talked about it and talked about it. And all our family was there, and which we looked back and wished we had done it, taken it. But he turned it down. Living in California, you don't have the change of seasons. It's so hot, and I hate hot weather. And we really felt like we made a mistake by not going back there because our family was there. But, you know, sometimes you make those decisions, and you have to stay by them. We have made wonderful friends here in Michigan, and our family's here now. You know, my kids and grandkids and all that.
So when you're, you have a boy and a girl, correct?
Yes. I have a daughter that lives not very close to me. And we had a son. He died of cancer in 2009.
Oh, what a tragic thing. That's always tough for any parent to go through. Oh, my goodness. So, obviously, here you are at VIP Conduit, which is a site for blind folks. When did you discover that you were losing your vision?
Oh, it was, I was about 67, I guess. It was around the year 2000. Well, actually, it was before that. It was the year before, 1999. And I was working in a bakery, and all of a sudden I couldn't see the cash register numbers. At night, I couldn't see, you know, at night to drive and all that. So I went up to the eye doctor, and he says, I have bad news for you. He said, you have thousands of druids in your eye. And he said, it might take a short time, it might take a long time, but your central vision will be gone. And I went home, and of course I was upset, you know. I called my husband, you know what he said? He said, you're going blind, aren't you? And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I just thought that was kind of a funny side. He didn't mean anything by it. It was pure joke on his side. I went into a state of depression because I couldn't read my newspaper. I couldn't drive. I almost hit somebody one day. So I came home and told Dale, I said, here's the keys. And I must say that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. So then I went up to school for 9 weeks and changed everything completely. And therein lies how I got to BIP. My computer teacher, when I left after 9 weeks, brought me into her office. And she said, there's a lady in Detroit, and she had she starts computers and works on computers and so on and so forth. And she said, this lady would like to donate a computer to you. I was thrilled. And we'd had 2-hour classes at school for a computer. And so we went up there and got it. The other partner and her, they did this. They would buy computers and fix them up and put all kind of things on it and then give them out. Well, they did it for the Lions Club, but they stopped that and they started doing it for the school. And so my husband and I went up there and got the computer. But her friend, and I don't know if many of you know him or not, I think his name is Blue Bud. He went by Blue Blood or something. He was a policeman. And he would call me and help me on the phone, so on and so forth, with the computer. And one day he said, you know, I think you would really enjoy going on the computer into a chat room. And he said, it's called VIP. I thought, what in the world is a VIP? You know, and then virtually, and so on and so forth. And that was the beginning of a long history with VIP. I went to out of sight for a while before that, but I didn't do much, you know. And when I came to VIP, I really didn't go into many of the chat rooms till later on. But I did go to the church service, and that got me right away. And I would go to the church service every Sunday. And then eventually I went into the chat rooms, and the rest is history.
Well, the rest is actually our treasure. We have, and I know I'm speaking for everybody here, your presence on the site has just been such a great thing. I wanted to ask you also, I know one of your great interests was music. Since you played exclusively by music reading, once you didn't have your music anymore, what were your interests that replaced the music, besides talking to us, of course?
Yeah. This is going to be a little interesting to everybody, especially musicians. I was total music oriented. I very seldom had to memorize anything. Everything was by music. So I was tied to the music. And when the central vision was gone, it just, my music was gone. And that was it. And I haven't played since. So, you know, I did serve the Lord for 50 years, and so I was happy about that. Quite frankly, not a whole lot. I really didn't replace it with anything. My family is extremely important to me, and I do a lot with my family. I was always having my grandkids over another part of my life, Dell and I traveled quite a bit. So we replaced some of that with traveling and having the kids over. And I never picked up another hobby, though. I really mourned the loss of not being at the piano, but it was just not there anymore.
So when you traveled, was this after you lost your vision?
No. In fact, it was just before, the years just before that happened. He had 28 states that he covered, and he started flying I started flying. He flew everywhere. And so one day he came to me and he said, I'm getting really tired of flying. He said, why don't we buy a motorhome and you can go with me? And that, boy, that was it. I mean, we traveled all over, everywhere. And then he lost his job because a marking order died. So he lost his job. That was a big part of our life for a while, was traveling.
How many years did you do that?
Oh, I'd say 10 years or so.
And this was after your family had grown up and moved out?
Yes. And we had grandkids, you know, at the time, and kind of filled my life, you know, up with something to do. And I was real interested in the travel. And we always took the highways. We always go through these little towns, you know. And then we did a lot of camping, too, with the family. I volunteered at the hospital. I really enjoyed that. So I always kept busy.
Yeah, if I were to travel, I would definitely enjoy going in the out-of-the-way places, too. I'll bet that was interesting. Can you think off the top of your head of any particular place that you traveled that stands out in your mind that was unique or particularly fun or interesting?
Oh, gosh, that's a difficult question, because as we traveled throughout the country, every state is unique to itself. But we fell in love with Montana. We went to back roads of Montana, and where nobody was there. I would love to, and we never had the opportunity to do this, but we would have loved to have gone back there and camped there, but we never had that. But I think Montana would be a place where I would love to stay for a while.
I understand it's really beautiful out there. So it's neat that you still had enough vision to perceive the beauty of the place and all of that sort of thing. You said back when they diagnosed your eye issue that you had several what in your eyes? I didn't understand that terminology.
They're druids is how the doctor and they're little spots, little tiny spots all over the central vision, and that those spots finally form enough to where it covers the whole central part of your vision. And yeah, that was a little hard for me to understand too. But and I had two surgeries. They thought that maybe they could put a laser in my eyes, but unfortunately it didn't help. And the right eye was hurt because when the doctor was doing it, his hand slipped or something and it got into peripheral vision. But things like that happened. He told me at the beginning of the surgery that could happen.
Oh my goodness. So you've lived a long, interesting life. And now that you've come this far, what is the highlight? If you can pick out one thing that you are very glad that you did, or something that has profoundly impacted your life up to this point, what would that be?
Well, this is, it's about my faith. I've always been in church ever since I was a little kid, you know, always active in church. And I had a lot of faith, and my mother was a agnostic. You know, that was a little hard to live with, but my faith always brought me through whatever. After I quit playing in church, and I realized that I had been serving, and I told this to somebody else just the other day, I had been serving somebody I didn't know. You know, when you're in music and you're at the piano, and you're thinking about what's going to come in next, to, you know, the service and all that. And I suddenly realized one day that I didn't know the Jesus I had been serving all these years that began my search to have that personal relationship with God. I would say that that moment there was probably a deep search that I had to go through to really find that personal relationship with God, because it pulled together my whole life. God means everything to me. My husband and I both, without him, I just couldn't exist. I've gone through 9 operations, almost died in 2 of those operations. I could just have you here all night telling what God has done for me. And the church services on Sunday, those church services, by the way, have really helped me grow as a Christian also. So I think, to answer your question, that was a pivotal pivotal time for me.
Well, that's great. I was going to ask you, because I knew your faith has been very significant to you, and it's interesting to hear you say that you'd been just sort of going through the motions for a while, because I think a lot of us who have experienced a Christian walk have been through those types of times in our lives where we're just sort of going through the motions of worship, but the meaning is not significant. And I think it's very inspiring to hear that you discovered that and actually sought after a more meaningful relationship with God. So anything else that you would like to interject before we open it up for questions?
No, I don't think so. I've led a long, interesting life, and thank God for it. Even the ups and the downs, and the ups were a lot, but there were a lot of downs too. And I just thank God. There were times that the way that He led me, I didn't understand it. But I can see now as I look back that everywhere we went, I can see why God led me the way He did. And I just appreciate so much, Mar, your questions. They were wonderful. And I appreciate the chance. This has been wonderful. You've led me through it quite well.
Well, thank you. And, you know, everybody has their own style. And sometimes it speaks to people more than others. And I think, too, when you know somebody, you and I have gotten a lot closer in the past few years. And I think it makes a difference when you know somebody and you feel comfortable with them. And it's more like talking to a friend. I think it makes it a little easier. So we will open it up to questions, as always. Once you ask a question, make sure that you give Nan plenty of room to answer the question. No one else key up until Nan has answered that particular question. And we'll give everybody a chance to ask something to Nan that they've always wanted to know.
I don't have a question, but Nan, thanks so much for sharing your life with us and all of your experiences. We always have some things that nobody ever knows until an interview like this. So thank you.
I also want to thank you, Nan. And also, I know you're proud of your age, so I'm sure everybody would like to know just how old of a lady you are. I know it's pretty young.
Oh, thank you, Terry, very much. I'm 87 years old.
Boy, I'll tell you something. If I wouldn't have known that, there's no way I would have guessed. You're very well-spoken. Aside from the memory lapses that we all have, you are very articulate, and your thoughts are still very linear and together, believe it or not. And we are so glad that God has allowed you to be with us as long as He has.
Well, I tell the family that I have a goal that I want to see my great-grandsons graduate from high school. So then I told my great-grandkids that, and the youngest one's 7. I want you to be alive when I am, so we'll see. If God wants me to live to that long, I guess so.
Any other questions or comments?
Well, I would love to have heard your music, Nan. I know you would. I know you were superb. And I'm sorry to hear that you stopped. And I'm really surprised that you didn't. You don't play by ear after all those years. But I know it was outstanding.
Well, thank you very much, Becky. I had a terrible time playing by ear. And some musicians are like that. They're totally set on the music. And I was like that ever since I was able to play the piano. It was not easy for me to play by ear. But thank you, Becky. And I might say also that I feel sometimes like God was saying, I need you to do other things also.
I know you've made reference to it because you have asked for books and things like that. So I was asking you before about other interests. Do you like to read? And if so, what types of books?
Oh, I love mysteries. Any kind of mysteries. And autobiographies. I love those too.
Well, thanks to everybody for coming. It sounds like things are starting to wrap up. And I appreciate everybody for coming and listening. But most of all, I appreciate you, Nan, for coming and sharing your story with us here on VIP. And as is my goal, I think we all got to know you even a little bit better. And we look forward to many, many more times of fun and chat. And you're a very supportive person. You have certainly been there for me when I've gotten in my little crazy moods where I have to complain about life. And you've been very supportive. And we appreciate that about you, too. The next Mars Stars will take place in March. And I'm still looking to see if we can get the elusive John Harris to do that. But watch your schedule for whoever I can lasso into doing the next edition of Mars Stars. Meanwhile, take care, God bless, and have a lovely evening.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.